Welcome back to the Rested Culture Show. I'm your host, Frank Ebersold, and we've got an interesting episode lined up for you today. We're going to talk about healthcare sabotage and what Donald Trump is doing to sabotage Obamacare. We're going to talk just a little bit about the filibuster rule. He wants to get rid of that. And have you heard Senator Bob Corker? The truthfulness coming from him. Stay tuned. Well, folks, how do you think Donald Trump kicks off his healthcare sabotage? How do you think he does this? Well, he does it through a tweet like he always does. In a tweet that he sent out the other day, he says, I called Chuck Schumer yesterday to see if the Dems want to work and do a great healthcare bill. Obamacare is badly broken, big premiums, who knows? Well, that's the tweet. That's how you kick off your healthcare sabotage plan. Now, the tweet sounds pleasant. It sounds rather innocuous. It sounds like Trump really wants to work on fixing Obamacare, doesn't it? Well, folks, once again, you can't trust what Donald Trump says. You need to watch what he does. And most of the time, what he says and what he does are two different things. And what Trump is not telling you, what he's not telling you, is that he's drafting yet another executive order today, working on it today as we speak, to sabotage Obamacare. Now, the ploy is to use the executive order to sabotage Obamacare, to push Democrats hard to the right so he gets what he wants in the end. And he's basically telling Democrats he's going to kill Obamacare any way he can through executive orders right from his desk if he doesn't get what he wants. So how is he going to sabotage Obamacare? How's he going to do it? Well, here come the Looney Tune executive orders. And you know, remember how many Republicans wanted a watered-down health insurance plan in one of the many iterations of their attempt to kill Obamacare? Remember, I think it was the last one. They've all been watered down somewhat, but the last one was, well, it was see-through. It was so watered down. And, you know, these plans, in the end, they really didn't cover much at all. I mean, and that's how, my friends, that's how he's going to sabotage Obamacare, with these see-through insurance plans that don't cover much. Well, according to an article on Vox.com, and that article is also, there's a link to it on my website, www.rustedculture.com. According to that article, they say that this executive order would in effect exempt many association health plans, groups of small businesses that pool together to buy health insurance, from core Obamacare requirements, like the coverage of certain essential health benefits. This executive order would potentially allow individuals to join these plans too, which would put individual insurance marketplaces in serious peril by drawing younger, healthier people away from them. Well, folks, that's how you do it. By putting these see-through insurance plans out there, people leave the Obamacare marketplace, and he accelerates that death spiral that he basically started. That's how you do it. So by doing this, you know, which people like Rand Paul, they'll all get up to a microphone and tell you it's a really great deal, folks. But by doing this executive order and putting these see-through insurance plans out there, you won't get the core essential benefits that were mandated by Obamacare. And so you get this cheap insurance that lets you meet the existing Obamacare mandate of having to have insurance, but it won't cover much. So what kind of a deal is crap insurance that doesn't cover much? It's no deal. But they're going to tell you it's a great deal, and I can guarantee that you're going to hear them all coming out of the woodwork telling you it's a great deal. These executive orders are doing so much for America. Well, you know, there's still a chance that Trump will trash this executive order, which is really what he should do. But if I was a betting man, I'd say you'll hear more about this executive order that he's going to use to sabotage and undermine Obamacare. So, folks, by letting people buy cheap, low-coverage association health plans, Trump is going to siphon people away from the Obamacare marketplaces, which will help sabotage those Obamacare marketplaces. And, you know, you may not know. Let's kind of rewind just a few seconds here. And what is an association health plan anyway? Well, again, going back to that article that's on Vox.com, an association health plan is a way for a group of small businesses to pool together to buy insurance, giving them more purchasing power and access to cheaper premiums. You know, that sounds like a good idea, but with relaxed rules on what association plans need to cover, and not by not having to follow the core benefits that are mandated in Obamacare, by skirting some of that, and also, folks, these plans don't cover the minimal percentage of your medical bills that are mandated in Obamacare. So basically, by circumventing a lot of stuff, you get this see-through insurance. They're cheaper, but you do get what you pay for, folks. You do get what you pay for, don't you? So how do these cheap plans sabotage Obamacare? And like I mentioned, by letting participants buy this cheap, crappy insurance instead of the stronger Obamacare insurance, there's less participation and the better coverage that you get in the Obamacare market. And over time, this is going to end up hurting the Obamacare small group market. That's how you sabotage it. The association plans would appeal to younger folks, healthier folks, you know, and that stronger, healthier market will leave the older, sicker people in behind in the Obamacare plans because they need the coverage that actually works for them. And that's how you make the Obamacare market. That's how you squeeze it. That's how you sabotage it. That's how you, Donald Trump, create the death spiral that you like to talk about. It's how you do it. You could support it, but you're not. It's healthcare sabotage. Well, there is a second way that he plans on sabotaging the Obamacare markets as well. Yep, that's right. Our great and most fearless, esteemed leader can sabotage Obamacare another way by expanding short-term insurance, which, like these association plans that I just mentioned, are also free from the Obamacare mandate to cover core essential health benefits. So you kind of get the trend here. By skirting the essential health benefits that are offered in Obamacare, things like charging sick people more than healthy people, denying people based on medical history, you know, the pre-existing conditions, by not putting in mental health and addiction treatment. And folks, how bad is the opioid crisis? Don't we need coverage in our plans for that? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And by doing away with most of these core benefits, with this see-through insurance, you end up with watered-down crap insurance like we had before Obamacare. So instead of fixing and supporting Obamacare, it looks like old man Trump here, he wants to sabotage our health care through executive action, which will increase the death spiral he always points to. He always points to that when he talks about Obamacare. Except now you know the rest of the story. If Obamacare is death spiraling, it's because Trump wanted it that way. And, you know, the damage that this president will do to subvert giving Americans access to quality health care that they can depend on is nothing but amazing. The willingness for Donald Trump to do this is just amazing to me. Like I've said before, if you really want to make America great again, then by God, you need to start with ensuring that Americans are healthy. That's the first step. That's the bedrock of America, folks. The people. We, the people, are the bedrock of America. And if you want to make America great again, you got to keep that bedrock strong. And that plan, these executive orders, they don't do it. It's not going to happen under these executive orders that sabotage Obamacare. And our only hope is that Democrats hold his fanny in a vice with the filibuster threat on bills that Trump wants to pass. Keep the pressure up. You got to squeeze his fanny. That's our only leverage that we've got here, that filibuster leverage. And, you know, folks, that brings me right to the next topic that I want you to know about. Did you hear what Donald Trump said about that?
There are close to 300 bills sitting right now in the Senate, and you need Democrat support, and you're just not going to get it. You know, it's very obstructionist. You're not going to get it. And they have to do something about the 60 votes. They have to get it down to the 51. And if they do that, they can actually pass legislation, which is a good thing.
So getting rid of the filibuster and the two-thirds majority vote, it's a good thing. Did you hear that? According to Donald Trump, it's a good thing. And the best part that I heard in that clip was that Democrats are obstructionist. Kind of like Republicans were obstructionist in the Obama years. Do you mean kind of like that? Is that what you're talking about? Well, Mr. Trump wants to do away with something, that filibuster rule that's been around and used since 1806. It's known as the filibuster, which is, and if you don't know what that is, it's the ability to block a measure through expanded debate unless you meet a two-thirds majority that can end the debate. If you get two-thirds of the people together, the congressmen, the senators, if you get a two-thirds majority, you can end that filibuster debate in a process known as cloture. And to be honest, I think that the filibuster rule is important. I think it forces our two parties to seek common ground, which is something Trump evidently doesn't want to waste any time on. Trump just wants to get his way. It's like he's got attention deficit disorder or something. I can't figure it out. You know, he wants to have the instant gratification of doing what he wants when he wants. But under the filibuster rules, that's not going to happen, is it? That's why we need to keep them. Is it really a bad thing to seek consensus on legislation anyway? I mean, since when is that a bad thing? I don't think it's bad. So looking back to George W. Bush, remember the Bush trickle-down tax cuts that he did? You know, they were tax cuts, basically, and it pandered into that trickle-down economics theory, which I'm not, obviously, a big fan of. But George Bush, if you recall, he did sidestep the filibuster rules by using something called budget reconciliation. We've heard about that. That's how they tried to repeal Obamacare. But by using budget reconciliation, as a result of that, George Bush got his tax cuts, but the tax cuts expired within 10 years to avoid violating something called the Byrd rule that is in existence right now in the Senate. But you'll recall that Obama made the most of those tax cuts. He went and took those tax cuts, made most of them permanent through something called the American Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012. And most of those tax cuts he did allow. And like I said, I don't agree too much with trickle-down economics, but underneath Obama, he did extend those tax cuts. And believe it or not, it was actually passed by a Republican Congress. Yep, something that Obama put out was actually passed by a Republican Congress, the Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012. So folks, you can still work within the constraints of the filibuster rule, but it's going to take some work on Trump's part, and that's why he would like to do away with the filibuster rule. You know, it makes things go so easy, and it makes things so simplified, and, you know, all the legislation that he wants to pass, everything he wants to do is great, isn't it? We shouldn't question that. We shouldn't question anything that he's doing, should we? And, you know, another thing that Obama passed with a two-thirds majority was the American Reinvestment and Recovery Act of 2009. With a two-thirds majority, he actually got two Republicans voting yes, which made it happen. Obama also passed the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, and he had three Republicans cross over the aisle and vote yes. The American Clean Energy and Security Act easily passed with a two-thirds majority. And, of course, how can we forget Obamacare, which passed in 2009 with a two-thirds majority. So, Mr. President, you can legislate and pass legislation with a two-thirds majority without trashing the 211-year-old filibuster rule. By God, if Obama can do it, Mr. Trump, you can too. Stay right there, folks. I'll be right back with the next segment. So, folks, I've made my feelings about Donald Trump's shortcomings abundantly clear. You know that I'm not a fan. You know it. You know, that's one thing, but it's another thing when a top GOP senator decides he's not going to run for re-election and gives Americans a warning. And you're not going to find any more truthfulness coming from a politician that is not going to run for office. And I really think we need to listen, America, to what Senator Corker is trying to tell us. And I have to say, Senator Corker is a decent man. And I feel he's well-grounded. He's an honest man. And when this senator, this Republican senator, tells us that Trump is pushing our nation towards World War III, I listen. And I think you should listen too, folks. This is not meant to be humorous. This is not a game. This is the real deal coming from an honest Republican senator. Literally telling America, watch out, folks. This guy is pushing us to World War III, and the scary thing about this, folks, is I want you to hear this. Listen close.
I think Secretary Tillerson, Secretary Mattis, and Chief of Staff Kelly are those people that help separate our country from chaos, and I support them very much.
Well, you've got to be kidding me. Folks, there's only three people who represent the Trump firewall? Oh, golly. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Three people here. The Secretary of State Tillerson, Rex Tillerson, James Mattis, and Chief of Staff Kelly? That's it. You know, this is our America, folks, and, you know, we've got an honest, outgoing senator telling us that there's only three people. There's only three people that steer the president toward the center and away from chaos. I mean, that's unbelievable, folks. I mean, if you're listening out there, do you have kids? Do you have grandkids? Or you just, I'm sure that many of you just care about America as I do. I mean, my God, this is scary stuff here. And we've heard that Rex Tillerson is as close to leaving as, you know, the position of Secretary of State as it gets. He's been close. Reportedly called Trump a moron. I mean, come on. I mean, if he leaves, then what? I mean, I'm not kidding, but I can tell you I care deeply for this country. And you know that if you've listened to my episodes that I've gone on about, you know that I care deeply for the country, and I don't know what in the hell we can do about this. Only three people in the Trump firewall. And folks, we've got 3 years and 3 months and 9 days left of the King of Chaos as president. Not that I'm counting or anything, but, you know, Trump has also got his attack dogs right on Corker's heels. I don't know if you've seen the episode unfold here, but the attack dogs are coming out from all over the places. The manholes are bumping up. and they're coming out from God knows all over the place. I want you to listen to this.
It's a shame that the White House has become an adult daycare center. This after a Twitter exchange. Someone obviously missed their shift this morning. What a demeaning tweet at the president.
Well, it is, and world leaders see that.
Well, thanks, Kellyanne Conway, queen of the obvious. Yes, world leaders also see Trump's crap tweets that he keeps pumping out. That's not all they see, is Corker's, you know, response to him in his tweet. They're seeing all the junk. All the junk that's coming from our president. How do you think that makes them feel? I'm telling you, the world is not getting warm and cozy either from Donald Trump. And he's been sending these crap tweets out for months. You know it just like I know it. So don't blame Senator Corker for saying what he thinks. Trump does this every day. He sends these tweets out. He sticks his foot in his mouth every day, and he's embarrassed the presidency himself time and time again, right along with the process. So don't give me that kind of crap, Kellyanne Queenie. Back off. You know, even old Steve Bannon, remember him? Well, he popped up the manhole cover, and now he's out and about, the king of the alt-right himself. Well, he's getting in on this whole thing about Senator Corker, calling for the outgoing senator to leave now. What right does he have? I mean, go back to Breitbart. You know, go talk about white supremacy or something, you know. I mean, these folks, you know, these folks, Bannon and the rest of the alt-right, they just can't stand Corker's honesty, can they? Truth hurts. Truth hurts, doesn't it? And you know what? Steve Bannon is kind of like that weird guy that moves in next door to your house and he wants to build a 15-foot fence around his house And by God, he's got tinfoil on the windows, doesn't he? I mean, folks, let's call the alt-right what it is. I mean, they don't want you to hear the truth from people like Senator Corker. What they really want to do is they want to wall off America from the rest of the world, among other nasty things that they plan to do. And when America steps away from the world, that vacuum, the vacuum that's left, is filled by Russia and other players on the world stage who move in like they're doing with Iran with help and assistance and money, and like they're doing with North Korea with money, trade, and assistance that circumvents any kind of sanction that you could throw at them. Bannon's isolationist views simply don't work in today's world, folks. They simply don't work. And you kind of see how this whole thing works, folks, with Trump. I mean, Trump never takes responsibility for anything. Have you ever heard him take responsibility for squat? Always an excuse. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to sink our ship, and he's going to be the first one on the damn lifeboat, folks, and I'm sick of it. Day in and day out, I'm sick of it, and we've got 3 years, 3 months, and 9 days left of this crap. And I can guarantee you that I'm not going to stop fighting as long as this man is in office. I've got revolutionary blood in my veins going back to the 1700s, right to the roots of America, folks. And I'm not going to stop fighting until he's out of office. Well, I want to thank you for joining me for this. Ah, it's always where I want to be, folks, here, right with you, the listeners. And as always, subscribe to us on iTunes. That way you can get all of the love from the Rested Culture Show that we have to offer. Until next time, I'm Frank Ebersold, signing off.
I don't know what I'm up against. I don't know what it's all about. I got so much to think about. Hey!